Hello, and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Sean Rolfe, who is the founder of A Copycat. Welcome to the podcast, Sean.
All right, Kurt. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, so am I. We always start with that very important question. So here it is for you. Why, Sean, do you do what you do?
It's my favorite question in my line of work. Look, Copycat is a company that's developed a proprietary narrative process that helps B2B mid-market brands reimagine the way they connect with their audience. And the main reason why I do what I do is because I believe brands worth believing in deserve to tell their story. And at the same time, in a marketing tapestry that is changing and shifting every nanosecond, I also want to preserve the humanity, the originality, the creativity which brought me into this industry in the first place. Mm-hmm. And by helping brands tell a more effective story based on who they are, why they're doing what they do, why they love what they do, why they are so convicted in wanting to solve this problem, mm-hmm. I'm able to make a lasting and positive contribution to an industry that I adore.
Right. So your why is that you love other people's why and you want to help tell the world about it. Is that right?
That is exactly it. That is exactly it.
So tell me then, what is the number one use case that you solve for your customers?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think when this question comes our way, the one word that I like to use is misalignment. Misalignment internally and misalignment externally. Mm-hmm. Externally, what that looks like is a narrative, positioning, messaging that isn't perfectly aligned to the story that their audience wants to hear. This can show up in a variety of different ways based on the type of business and the channels that they're in. This could be higher customer acquisition costs. This could be poor lead quality. This could simply be sales and marketing are not working for us the way we want it to. Mm-hmm. A misalignment internally shows up a little bit different. This is when different departments have a difficult time truly forming strong systems of communication. This is when everyone at the company tells a different story in regards to the company's product architecture and the vision and the mission that they're on. One of the strongest questions that we ask in this realm when working with new clients is we say, if we went to your offices today, even if you're virtual, and we sat down with three members of the executive team, with three of your clients and three of your stakeholders, would they all tell us the same story? 80% of the time, the answer to that question is no. And so when we can fix that type of alignment, we empower everyone that orbits the brand to be better brand advocates for them because they can actually communicate with clarity what they're up to.
Okay. So you help create stories and narratives for companies and make sure that everyone is aligned on what that story is so that no matter who you ask, they will tell you pretty much a similar or the same story so everyone feels like they're on the same page.
That's exactly right. And we're often working a bit backwards in the sense that this company has a growth strategy that they're trying to mm-hmm. achieve. So we're also looking at that growth strategy because you can't just like go into an industry and tell an amazing story based on everything about you. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems in B2B. They don't focus the story around the audience and the customer and the people they're actually speaking to. They speak about their product features and their incredible innovations and their AI-backed XYZ. Yep. And so we're often looking at this growth strategy and we're saying, okay, this is what you think is the next milestone of success. This is how you're defining success. Are you telling the most effective story to go from point A to point B?
So part of that is also how customers talk about a company. So how do your customers talk about you? And when you do a good job for them, what do they say?
You know, what's really interesting. We actually just went through this process. You're absolutely correct. I always talk about this with our partners and a lot of people in our network. I say one of the quickest paths to finding the most effective story that you can tell today is by simply interviewing your 10 best clients and asking them to give their interpretation of who you are, asking them to define you. Almost always, that is a rendition that doesn't necessarily align with what the marketing website looks like or what, you know, the collateral currently looks like. Our partners describe us in a variety of ways, but since we went to market with the strategic narrative, I think my favorite one is a lot of partners actually call us a brand therapist. I know it's kind of a loaded term, but the reality mm-hmm. is I just use the word misalignment to describe these use cases. And so much of the work that we're doing really is at that human level where we're trying to figure out, okay, this is the core value system that all of you represent. This is the mission that you're on. This is the passion that you have. How can we bottle that up? How can we bottle up the magic that you experience and produce for your customers and actually turn that into creative and language that the world can respond to and interact with?
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe I should even call it a brand chiropractor. If you think about alignment, right? You go to the chiropractor and they push and they pull and they crack and then you come out and you're like, oh yeah, I feel way aligned again. Maybe that's what you're doing with the brand.
That's narrative right there.
There you go. So the brand chiropractor, there you go. You can claim that one. Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking, which is we all don't know what the future is going to bring, not even tomorrow, but I like to do this thing to think 10 years out from now. So think we're in 2035.
Okay.
What does the industry look like? What does storytelling look like? What does brand narrative look like? Paint me a picture of what the possible future could look like.
Oh, Rucker, this is one of my favorite questions, just because, as you know, in marketing and advertising, things have changed so quickly over the course of the last 3 years. It's no news to anyone that AI is now on the scene and disrupting every workflow and challenging every business's status quo. I'm going to say something a little lofty here that I think is like the beginning of a thesis that isn't fully baked yet, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right about.
Yep.
I would reckon that right now, in the history of humankind, it's probably the easiest time in the world to start a business. Mm-hmm. And consequentially, it's the hardest time to grow one. Right. I think that the more access solo entrepreneurs, young, ambitious leaders and operators and builders, the more access they have to tools that allow them to go further on their own, the more we are going to see an ecosystem where more ideas just have weight behind them. And more products are launched and more startups get to a further, more mature phase than they otherwise would have without the current access to technology that we have. And I think that within that, one of the things we're going to see is every single channel is just going to become noisier. I think LinkedIn is a good example of this. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like over the course of the last year alone, LinkedIn has become noisy in a way that's kind of hard to describe. It's just this constant motion that we're wading through. And within that, the reason I bring that up is I think that narrative and not the traditional kind of understanding of branding is going to be one of the critical business components that allow companies to actually break through that noise and tell their story. And I think it's going to become more important than ever. And so when I look out 10 years, what I am hoping is that this discipline of really figuring out what we have to say or what we're trying to say and bringing that to market is going to build an environment where that creative we saw in marketing and advertising 10, 15 years ago is flushed once more and the cycle is continued.
That is a very interesting view and a very interesting picture you're painting there of the future. So with the democratization and with giving everyone tools through AI, a lot more people can get to the stage and can actually give it a shot. But because everyone does, it's going to be noisier. So that is an interesting thing that I had not thought about, but that is very interesting. So by leveling the playing field, that's great. So everyone gets an opportunity, but because there are then so many new startups out there, it's also going to be quite competitive, and having a very clear narrative is going to be very crucial. So how can people get ready for that potential future where it's going to be this level playing field where it's going to be really competitive? What can people do now to get ready for that?
I think that probably when it comes to looking forward and really trying to what we call future proof a business, so to speak, and create systems and build initiatives within the organization, which is going to adapt to this change that is coming and the change that I have communicated. I think that the most important thing a company can do is truly look inward at the service that they're building and ask themselves one question. Why am I uniquely positioned to solve this problem or to produce this product?
Right.
Who gave me the right? How did I create the right? What am I doing in this way that is so specific to me, my conception, and my vision for this thing that has not only created this momentum, but is going to bring me into this future stage of business that I'm envisioning. Tap into that and then bring that forward. Because I think that is one of the main questions, Rucker, that a lot of prospects, that a lot of potential customers have. In an environment where you can build this fast, there's just more optionality. There are 1,000 solutions that all sound the exact same, which is why differentiation is so hard and which is why copycat exists, honestly. That's part of the problem we solve. And at the end of the day, you have these people that are coming and finding your solution. You have these buyers that are ready and they're like, I know I need this. I'm aware that I need this. I want to know why it's you that should be giving it to me. And that's what I feel like is a true missing component in so many brand narratives that we review and work with.
We're very aligned on that. And obviously, my thoughts come partially from Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, right? And where he says, people buy from other people because of why they do what they do, not because of what they do. And so, getting that narrative right, not just describing what you do, but why you do it and why you have the right to win and why people should pick you. I think that is very crucial at any point in time, but especially with the future that you paint where everything is going to get more and more competitive.
I also think it's an exercise that helps you further develop that. Like marketing and sales away. Take like this idea of let's use this effective story as a tool for growth and to convert more customers and yada, yada. I think really looking at that question, why am I uniquely positioned to solve this problem or produce this product actually creates all these different thought patterns and thought exercises that build on ideas in which you can implement things to go further in a way that is unique and is in a way that does fulfill the vision that you have. Because if you ask that question and the answer is, well, I don't really know, we kind of do the same thing as everyone else, it's a problem. That's a problem in where the industry and business is going at large.
Yep. Right. If you're just like everyone else and try to be everything to everyone, you're nothing to no one.
I'd argue as well that that's probably the biggest issue in B2B marketing. It's when a company does not define an ICP and they feel like they just need to stay a bit generalized that they can capture all these different parts of the market share and they're everything to everyone. And so they're nothing to everyone.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, maybe that's a good point to wrap this up on. I think that that sounds like the epic that we want to end on. So thank you very much for being on the podcast, Sean.
Rucker, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Perfect. And until next time, choose to be curious.